Okay, if you'd like to turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, I'm going to be speaking from the book of 1 Corinthians here in a moment, and we're going to pick up with verse 20 here in a little bit, and I'd like to read down several verses, but again, that is 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We will begin in verse 20. While you're turning there, just to give you a little bit of a, or to give you, excuse me, the title to the message, I'm going to use these four words today, in remembrance of me, taking this message and preparing us with this word for communion to come. But we're going to talk about these four words, in remembrance of me. Again, if you would please follow along from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 20. The Apostle Paul wrote to us these words, "When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before another his own supper. And one is hungry and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Verse 25. "After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show, or may I say, proclaim the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." We'll stop right there. Okay. Let me just read several words to you before we start getting into the text, because I'd like to briefly from this passage of Scripture expound upon you five different aspects that pertain to the Lord's Supper, you know, before we eventually commune together. Consider these words, if you would. As a society, you know, that includes our own society here, or we could say anywhere, has constructed different memorials being those statues, you could say, of remembrances, or whatever type of remembrances they are, to remind people of past events, people's things. It is not without a degree of reverence. These are kept sacrosanct, and in other words, too valuable to be interfered with. Our Lord Jesus himself has instituted for us a memorial or a remembrance to be remembered itself regularly, so precious as not to be taken as common practice. You know, in a little bit, we're going to do something that I want you to know that is not common practice. Now, let me define that, because in one sense, it should be a common, regular practice. But when we talk about the Lord's Supper, it is nothing of just a common practice. Simply put, it's not like the U.S. penny. You know, if you saw a penny on the ground when you walked out of the church today, perhaps most of you, some, you know, that are very frugal, would pick it up. Perhaps many of us would just pass by, because really it had no significance to us. That penny was not going to do a lot for us. But I'm here to tell you that if we would be out in society and there would be a $100 bill laying along the road, many of us would pick that up because it had value. Well, I want us to know something about the Lord's Supper. It should never become something of just common practice, something that has no reverential value, we could say. It is something very, very precious. And it has five aspects that I'm going to define to you that are very important, and I believe can be very effective in our lives. Let us examine briefly this morning the significance of the Lord's Supper. As I already said, I'd like to consider five aspects of the Lord's Supper this morning from this passage of Scripture. Let us get right into it. These five aspects begin with the one that I've already elaborated upon, and that it is not common practice. It is sacred. Consider these words, if you would, with me, as Paul was speaking to the church at Corinth in verse 27 to 30. He said, "Wherefore, whosoever," and I'm going to say that whosoever is any of us here that named the name of Jesus Christ, that profess to have a walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, "wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily," or we could say in an unworthy manner, "with irreverence, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." And we could read the next two verses. But the Apostle Paul is defining something very clearly to the church at Corinth. He is defining that the Lord's Supper is of spiritual significance. You had people coming in supposedly with the Lord's Supper, and if I would have read earlier, one, you know, he says is hungry and another is drunken. It's as though they were coming in and turning this thing into a party house, per se, when they were supposed to be taking the Lord's Supper. Now, as the Corinthians had fleshly issues that we read about, when we read the epistles, we understand something about the church at Corinth, as there was a lot of, may I say, flesh going on, actions. Well, it showed up even in the Lord's Supper. Here they're supposed to take the Lord's Supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. And they lost the reverence of the whole communion table. And I want us to understand something very clearly about the Lord's Supper, is it should never just become common practice, something that doesn't have reverential value, because it is very sacred and it is very holy. How do we know? Consider this back in the Gospel of Mark. I won't read much, but I want to read to you something that the Lord did way back then, and that is when he instituted, if you will, the Lord's Supper to the disciples before his Passover. He passed away. Mark 14:22 says this, "And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave to them and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body.' And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it." Here, back in the Gospel of Mark, and you'll see it in Matthew 2, is where the Lord instituted for the first time this Lord's Supper. It wasn't another man's supper, it wasn't a woman's supper, it was the Lord's Supper. It came of him, through him, and by him. Number one, this is a sacred privilege that the Christian has the opportunity to do. And I just want us to remember, it's nothing of common practice. It's sacred. It has tremendous spiritual value. Number two, not only is it a sacred aspect, or it is a sacred aspect, the Lord's Supper, but secondly, it is a memorial or remembrance of a real past event. Consider verses 24 and 25. "And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" Remember, people set statues up. They have memorials of different kinds. Why? Because they are reflecting back upon a past event or person or thing. The Lord Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper for you and I to be reminded of a real past event that happened. And that real past event is that you and I had a Savior that died for us, that shed his blood in order that you and I can remember him today. Consider these words, if you would, "in remembrance of me." I pondered a lot on the words "remembrance" and "me." This word "remembrance" here, when you study it, it is an active remembering. It is, may I say, a putting forth effort to remember the Lord. Consider, what are we going to do here in a little bit? We're going to take a symbol. We're going to take some bread. We're going to take some juice. And they are symbols, right? They are memorials or reminders to you and I as Christians of a past event that happened. And that is of Christ's suffering. But they become symbols of reminding us of a past, true, actual event. And I want you to notice the word me. This word me is a personal pronoun. And it simply means, yes, me, but in remembrance of me, from me. Simply put, when you take these symbols here, remembering my death, remember that your salvation was dependent upon my sufferings. The Lord's Supper is a reminding of what He did for us. And that's very important. And when we take these, I call them spiritual or sacred elements, it is truly a memorial or remembrance of what Christ did for us. The Lord's Supper is very important as regards looking back to what Christ has accomplished. For example, as I already stated, His suffering. Consider what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. It says, "Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the Shepherd and Bishop of your souls." You know, when we take the Lord's Supper, it is a looking back of a past event, that is of Christ's suffering, His death, and His agony for the redemption of your soul and my soul. I praise God this morning for the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ, who died in my stead or my place that I could live again, by whose stripes you were what? Healed. The Lord wants us to be healed of those soul wounds, those spiritual wounds, those harsh words, those harsh actions. You know, many of us through life have been through hard things in the past and have heard hard things. But I'm here to say that sometimes people are very good of covering up those things, but have never found actual deliverance from the curse of them. I want us to know that you and I, by His stripes, perhaps referring to those cat of nine tails when He was whipped and the flesh was taken off of His back, because of His willing suffering for you and I, we can be healed of soul wounds. Spiritual wounds. Listen, it's one thing to be healed physically, and I believe in all of that. But I'm going to tell you what, there's a greater degree of healing that's needed, and that's the healing of the soul. That's the healing of the spirit within. And it's because of His stripes, His sufferings, His merits on the cross that you and I, as we reflect back upon that holy accomplishment, we can be the recipients of His healing in it. Thirdly, not only is it what I have previously stated, but another aspect of the Lord's Supper is that it is a holy sacrament as a present reminder. We looked at the past, right? But it is also a holy sacrament as a present reminder that we are kept by the grace of God. Not only this alone, but also, it is a spiritual tool to proclaim the Lord's death. In verse 26 here, Paul said, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show or proclaim, you publish publicly the Lord's death till He come." This word "show" means to proclaim, and this word "proclaim" means in a public forum. And listen, when we come together as a church to have the Lord's Supper, what are we doing? We are doing in a public forum, proclaiming something of value and importance in partaking the Lord's Supper. And that is in reference to His death. But proclaim what of His death, by the way? Because the apostle writes, "For as often," and some do it weekly, some do it monthly, some do it, you know, semi-annually. But for as often as we do this, we're proclaiming His death. But I'd like to look briefly at what about His death. What are we proclaiming in His death? Well, consider this. We are proclaiming the sorrow and suffering of it. When we proclaim the Lord's death by partaking the Lord's Supper, we are publishing abroad between ourselves and perhaps any others that don't know the Lord that sit here. We are proclaiming that there was a sorrow and suffering that took place in the Lord's death. There is a forgiveness and release of sin in it. And there is the victory over the devil, the world, and sin. It is because of the death of Christ, his sorrow and suffering, that you and I are able to experience the sweet release and forgiveness of sin. That you and I can find triumphant victory over the devil, the world, and sin. Consider what the book of Revelation says. And they overcame him by what? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. That testifying that, listen, Christ's death was sufficient. It was his death that's brought forgiveness for my sin. And you know, that's something very important to always remember too, by the way. Sometimes we are good at remembering another person's sin. We're good at remembering another person's fault. We need to remember that his blood forgave my sin. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All to me means everyone, everybody. You know, I'm imperfect, and you are imperfect, but I know that there is one perfect one that has a perfect blood that atoned for our sins, Jesus Christ. Fourthly, not only are these three previous aspects true, but I want to give you another aspect that pertains to the Lord's Supper. And now we're going to look to the future. See, we look to the past. It is a reminding of what he accomplished in the past. It has a present effect. Now, fourthly, pertaining to the Lord's Supper, it is a memorial or remembrance symbol of future hope. In other words, my entrance to glory is dependent upon continual faith in Jesus Christ. Consider the scripture, if you would, verse 26 again. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death, here we go, till he come. Circle those three words in your mind. Till he come. Listen, when we regularly participate in this holy event, this privilege to remember his suffering, what are we proclaiming? We are proclaiming through this symbol that you and I have a future hope, or in other words, as I stated, that your entrance and my entrance to the future life, to glory, is completely dependent upon continual faith in Jesus Christ. Because remember, you and I have not been saved by works, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained or appointed that you and I should be walking in them. Faith in Jesus Christ. You know, our future hope and glory is completely dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And through that holy instrument, he's implanted into his children faith. And this Lord's Supper becomes a symbol of future hope. Lastly, I'd like to give you one last aspect as it relates to the Lord's Supper. We're just drawing from this text alone. We could turn to other scriptures, I'm sure, and maybe find several others. But let me give you one last aspect as pertains to the Lord's Supper this morning. And that is that the Lord's Supper, when taken in purity of heart and by faith, it affects grace when it is done by faith. Its effects are tremendous and spiritual when they're done by faith. Simply put, they have a spiritual value, strengthening, impartation in our life. How do I know? Well, as you know, I try to do my best to do. I like to show you from the scripture where these things I say are true. Consider briefly this morning, if you would, from the Gospel of Luke, as it pertains to my last point here about the Lord's Supper affects the grace of God when done by faith. Do you remember the two men that were on the road to Emmaus? When Jesus, you know, he had already been raised from the dead, and the two men were on their road to Emmaus and on their way. And of course, the Lord showed up to see them, and they didn't know there at first because their eyes were blinded to the realization that the Lord was present there with them. And so the Lord is communing with them and he's opening the scriptures to them. And so the day goes on and the Bible says here in Luke 24:28, and they drew near unto the village where they went. And he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. Look at verse 31. And their eyes were opened and they knew or recognized him, and he vanished out of their sight. So here are these disciples, these two men, they eat with Jesus. They come eating. It takes you back. Remember, before the Lord passed away, he was eating with the disciples before his Passover. He takes that bread, not just the common meal they were eating, and he brings a significant, a very important thing now. And that was this bread and juice that he defined it as his broken body and his bloodshed. Well, here we see him eating with the disciples, and again he takes bread and breaks it. And at that point, they recognize who he was. I want us to know something. I truly believe in all of my heart, not only with the Lord's Supper, but when we follow the Lord's will, his word, by faith, the grace of God has an impact in our life. And when we take of the Lord's Supper and do it in these ways that I have shared, I believe the grace of God will bring its effects to our heart and to our soul. And I want us to know that the Lord's Supper is a privilege for you and I, because these five things are a reality to it. That concludes the message this morning. I'd like to have our communion service. Before we begin this communion service, the ushers can get ready for the distribution of the elements. But before we get ready, I just want to share my heart on this. You've heard me say this. You know, the Lord's Supper, just for the sake of anybody that may not know, is for those that have a testimony of faith in Jesus Christ as a Christian. And you know, I have not personally closed this communion down to just members. So I want to say, those of you that are here even visiting, if you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and your heart and soul are clear before the Lord this morning, I want to invite you to remember the Lord's death with us this morning, if you would so desire. If you choose not to, that is totally up to you. But I'd like to hear in a moment. Actually, I want you, if the ushers go ahead, I'd like you to just go ahead and start distributing that out. And while they're doing that, you know, with the COVID been going on, we've been using these little communion things here. Well, last time I think I noticed that there was a little bit of a hiccup in them. And I want to just show those of you that are here that are, as you get them, there is a little thin piece of plastic on the top. Okay, as you get that, there's a very thin piece of plastic on the top. If you'll pull that back, you will get to that little wafer there. And then when we get to the juice, there's the big part that you can peel back too. So just wanted to give a little bit of instruction to that. And again, just a little piece of thin paper there on the top. I'm going to give them time to distribute that out. And then we're going to have the reading of the scripture here. I'm just going to sing a song by memory here briefly. Those of you that know it, please join with me as they finish distributing. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. as the ushers are finishing up and before we partake and I read the scriptures, I just want to give a moment. Does anybody have anything in their heart that they would like to just thank the Lord for? Testify. You know, pertaining to what he has accomplished at Calvary for you and I, does anybody have anything they'd like to say as regards the Lord, as he is our focus and what he has accomplished for your sin and for my sin? Yes, Kathy. Amen. And Kathy, that was so beautiful. And I want the church to know here, seriously, when we do this, we don't always know who's sitting to our left and our right sometimes. We don't always know who's in front of us or behind us. But when we do this in unity of the Spirit by faith in Jesus Christ, we are proclaiming the Lord's death, and we don't know what that's doing in that other person's heart. That may inspire them to say, you know what? Today I need to get right with God. And I want to do the Lord's Supper with these dear children of God. We never know what impact we're having. And the Lord's Supper done by faith will have that impact. Amen. Anybody else before I read the scriptures here would like to share anything as relates to the Lord and what he has done? Yes, Lorna. Amen. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Yes, Matthew. Yes. Amen. He's a constant help. A constant help. Thank you, Matthew. Anybody else before we do read? I think it's an opportunity. You know, sometimes, you know, we have our traditions, a way of doing it. You know, I believe in order very much, but I also believe in the spontaneous movement of the Holy Spirit, very much so. Well, if you have something to say, please raise your hand yet. But I'd like to read the scriptures. If you'll get your little bread, wafer ready, please. We're going to partake of that here shortly. I'm going to be reading, for the sake of those who would like to know, from the Gospel of Matthew 26. And I'm going to start reading in verse 26. It says, And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Let's bless this and then partake with a remembrance of his broken body. Father, we thank you for the privilege of hearing the word of God today and corporately, publicly, as believers, proclaiming the Lord's death. It is his broken body, his death, that has taken our sin away. And Lord, we proclaim that by faith and believe in it, and we remember with joy what he accomplished at Calvary. Bless, Lord, this little wafer. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us partake together. Give you a little bit of a time if you'd like to just gently open up your cup there. I'd like us all to do this in unison if we can. I'm going to give you the sufficient time you need. You just peel back on that gently. Should be able to get that. Still hear the wrappers little going a little bit, so that's okay. All right, well, while you're finishing that up, I'm going to read another couple verses here before we remember the bloodshed of Christ. In verse 27 of Matthew 26, it says, and he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Father, we thank you as we take this juice and are reminded of the bloodshed of Jesus Christ at Calvary. We know, God, as we sang that hymn together, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And we proclaim that loudly and boldly. And Lord, we know as we take of this juice, it was the bloodshed of Christ alone that has forgiven our sins, Lord. Bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's partake. If you will just hold on to that, we're all prepared this morning to collect the trash. If you'll just hold it just a minute. I'm going to have a closing prayer here in a moment, and we have the ushers. They will come around and collect your trash for you. And I want to thank each and every one for being here this morning. It is a privilege to gather together in Jesus' name. I want to thank you for your support. And let us, as we go out this week, not only just in this moment, but let us continually remember what the Lord has done for us. Let us make, even if we need, make little active symbolic symbols in our life, whatever they may be, spiritually speaking, that help us to be remembering the Lord. If it's simply taking a scripture and writing it on your wall. If it's taking, whatever it may be and putting it in your vehicle, but putting the scriptures and things in front of our eyes to always keep us in mind of the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we again thank you for the opportunity for today. We just pray that you would take the service, bless it abundantly in every way. And Lord, I want to thank you for each and every one that has been here today. I'm grateful for them, and I just pray that you would impart that grace blessing to them that they need today. We give you the thanks, we give you the praise, we give you the honor, and we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, thank you. The ushers will come, and they'll collect your trash for you. Thank you for being here this morning.